Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome, everyone, and sorry for the delay. It's 2:15 in the afternoon of Monday, March the 2nd, 2009. The Judiciary Committee does not have a quorum to conduct business. Usually that's the first thing we do is announce that we have a quorum, and we do not. Senator Elton has resigned from the Senate today and has moved on. Senator Terrio is absent, and Senator McGuire, we understand, is not feeling well. So here's the plan for today. We have two confirmees who are going to hold over until we do have a quorum. So Mr. Henderson and Mr. Brown, I deeply apologize for the inconvenience, but I don't want to trouble and waste your time talking to just two of us when it takes three of us to take action on your nominations. And there's just little point in your going through your qualifications and so forth unless there are three of us here to analyze your ability to stand up for the jobs that you've asked to fulfill. And we appreciate your willingness to do that, but so I will have to put you off until another hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Again, I apologize.
Alonzo Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Henderson. Mr. Brown? Again, I just want to let you know that I apologize. It was not my intention to have to do this, but with two of us here, it's just, I don't want to waste your time any more than we waste ours.
It's understandable, and anytime you want to reschedule, you have my number, and just give me a call, and we'll reschedule.
That's what we'll do, sir. Thanks so much. That brings us to SB 52, which the committee will hear today and hold. And since we don't have to take action on it, we are perfectly capable as a body to take a public hearing on the matter to get the bill before us. And then it is a bill that many of us are familiar with, but we'll go ahead and have an initial hearing on it. So SB 52, Salvia Divinorum, Mr. Stancliffe, welcome to the committee. Please put yourself on the record, introduce yourself, and give us the background of this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Stancliffe. I work for Senator Terrio, and I have been working on this particular piece of legislation now. I believe this will be the fourth year. Salvia divinorum, which translated means sage of the divine, is an extremely potent hallucinogenic substance, primarily grown in the mountains of Mexico, and has a long history of use by the Mazatec Indians as a vision-inducing substance. The Drug Enforcement Administration of New Jersey offers the following comments. It's one of 500 species of salvia, or sage. It grows in large groupings to 3 feet in height. A dose of 200 to 500 micrograms, which is a millionth of a gram, produces profound hallucinations when smoked. Its effects in the open field test in mice and locomotor activity tests in rats are similar to that of mescaline. Users compare it to ketamine and mescaline. It is widely touted on internet sites aimed at young adults and adult adolescents eager to experiment with these types of substances. Now, in the 3 years the legislature has been considering this particular legislation, we've seen a huge rise in the amount of salvia available through smoke shops. The first year, we couldn't find a smoke shop. I think there was one in Anchorage that carried it. You can go down the street here, and on the left-hand side, in what used to be a little postal station that now carries lingerie, you'll see a big sign right on the front. There's a purple sticky salvia available here. And so,
Mr. Stancliffe, they advertise that in the window of the shop?
Yeah, I could go buy some and bring some in, but that runs counter to the way I think I ought to do business. But anyway,
I think that's wise. Thank you.
And there has been exponential growth. And I want to just state in the record here a U.S. News and World Report 2008 article says a national survey that was completed in 2006 found that about 1.8 million people 12 years or older have used salvia in their lifetime, with approximately 750,000 in the past years. Adults were nearly three times as likely as kids aged 12 to 17 to experiment with those type of drugs. Typing the term into the search engine of YouTube now on the website yields more than 4,600 results. Titles range from gardening on salvia to driving on salvia, and people take videos of themselves doing all types of activities under the influence of this particular hallucinogenic, and it is turned into a big fascination with young people. Senator Terrio's primary interest in this legislation is to send a message that primarily on the internet, but also to the smoke shops, that this is a dangerous substance. It should be controlled the way other hallucinogenic substances are controlled, which would not disallow it for medical purposes, but would take it off the market. A young person on a computer who wants to click and say they're 18 years of age can get it sent, and like I say, you can pick it up in smoke shops here. The Navy's Drug Detention and Deterrence Branch provides these details. There has been a recent interest in young adults and adolescents to rediscover ethnobotanical plants that can induce changes in perception, hallucinations, or other psychologically induced changes. Information provided by abusers indicates that the negative long-term effects of Salvia divinorum may be similar to those produced by other hallucinogens, such as LSD, including depression and schizophrenia. Salvia is the most potent naturally occurring vision inducer. Doses of 250 micrograms can have a threshold effect, and doses of 1 milligram can have extreme effects. There are 9 states now that have legislatively either controlled or completely banned or outlawed salvia. 18 states that are currently now, as Alaska is once again, and 12 countries that have either made it completely illegal or are looking to put strict controls on it. The main thing from Senator Terrio's standpoint is our children and the health of our children. Whenever we say something is legal, in a sense it can be interpreted, especially by a young mind, that it must be okay. And young minds that haven't fully developed, when they are involved in such strong altering substances such as this, we don't know what the long-term damage may be, but we do know if you watch the YouTube results that I've watched and trips labeled such as my trip to hell on salvia, you can, in 4 or 5 minutes of watching this on YouTube, you can't imagine anybody's child being on it, let alone your own. And you can't imagine any adult wanting to take this substance. In fact, in the chat rooms where I've derived most of my best information, very, very experienced people with LSD and other hallucinogenic substances warn against salvia. They warn to the young. They warn to anybody trying it for the first time. You will not get the same result on the same dosage each and every time. You need to have a sitter. You need to have someone with you. Comments like my mind being completely out of my body, no remembrance of the things that have happened. And if you watch people on the substance, it's hard to imagine why anybody would want to try it, except kids especially are prone to try things that have great risk, because I guess that invulnerability thing that we all have when we're young.
True enough. Mr. Stancliffe, let me just take a moment and recognize that Senator McGuire joined us some moments ago. We understand she's under the weather. Thank you so much for making a quorum. Senator McGuire, appreciate your being here. Please continue.
Yeah, and so realizing that no law is going to completely stymie or shut out the use or misuse of substances, just the growth and the proliferation of the use in the 3 years that the legislature has been considering this is a very good indication that this substance is catching on, is being used. There is an argument that adults say, they'll say, well, we agree kids shouldn't have it, but we should be able to do it. Again, if you'll watch the YouTubes, if you'll go to the chat rooms and actually watch and listen to the people that use this particular substance, I don't believe that you would come to the same conclusion. I'll be happy to try to answer any questions if I can. I know, Mr. Chairman, you were in the previous committee that heard this bill, which was Hess, and there was some questions about medicinal comments about the drug. I've done further research. If you are interested in that, I can reveal it to you.
Yes, please. I mean, before the hearing began, I asked, I reminded myself that there were medical marijuana statutes on the books that this legislature has seen fit to put in place because of some narrow circumstances. The medical community believes that there's some, sort of legitimate use of marijuana under controlled circumstances. And I was just curious, really, whether there's any recognition of salvia in a parallel way.
Mr. Chairman, there has been some experiment with the use of this drug to help in dealing with addictions. And because of the way this particular hallucinogenic substance interacts with the receptors in the brain, they feel that it may hold some future promise. It's important to note that, this legislation before you would not prohibit the continued research in that line, but there is nothing at this point that would substantiate that clinically that it's available and would be recommended for use for treating any particular type of addictive natures. I think we do have Department of Public Safety folks online. There has been some difficulty in trying to develop a test to actually know if someone has taken salvia divinorum. And from an enforcement standpoint, that's a challenge. If you can't, through your crime lab, determine that someone is actually either through a forensic test in a case of death, or if someone is stopped, how can you test for them? There are those questions I think the department will answer. However, the larger question for Senator Terrio is, what message are we sending by continuing to allow and our young people to understand that this is a completely legal and lawful substance to be experimenting with?
Other questions from members of the committee for the prime sponsors, staff? Senator McGuire.
Through the chair, and I know there are Mason rules about talking about other bills that have been before other bodies and so on.
I think that's for the floor. I think the rule in committee is a little more relaxed, and let's just go ahead and relax it.
I just want to lay it all out. I mean, we've been hearing this bill for 10 years now, and I don't know why it doesn't pass. Where are the hang-ups? I mean, you sold me a long time ago, and I just, I don't understand what do we need to change about the bill? Is there a compromise that needs to be made somewhere? Does it need to apply to minors only first, or what do you see as the challenges?
Mr. Chairman, actually, this is we're in our fourth year. And the bill has never had a negative vote out of committee. Has had widespread support. One year it died in Senator Cowdery's Rules Committee. And the next 2 years it's died in Senator Stedman's Finance Committee. And I'll leave it to your judgment as to why that might have happened.
Okay, and then if I could just...
Please.
Thank you. And through the chair, just to follow up, I mean, maybe at this point, too, be looking for other crime bills that are out there, because it really, you've convinced me every time, it shocks me every time, that this is out there and that children could literally walk into one of these shops and get it.
That's right.
With those kinds of effects that you're describing, and... who knows what the long-term impact is on the brain. So, you know, just be looking and thinking, I think, for other titles maybe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a consideration of this coming from the House side. If we reach some sort of impasse or the bottleneck gets too narrow again as we get backed up in finance, but we're hoping this time that we would get a hearing and be able to convey the information to the committee members so that it would be a bit of a more of a priority. Previous years, you've had gas line issues and just major things that sort of eclipsed other things. This year, we're hoping for a different outcome.
Thank you, Mr. Stancliffe. We do have Lieutenant Dial on the phone to answer questions. Lieutenant Dial, maybe I'll start off by making sure you're there. Are you on the line?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am on the line.
Thanks. Go ahead and put yourself on the record and answer this question. What level of what am I trying to say? What level of usage, or you know, how far up the chain has this risen on your radar? Is this a problem? Is this not a problem? Is this something your officers are coping with, or are they swamped with other with the day-to-day rapes, robberies, and murders that you're so unfortunately saddled with?
For the record, my name is Rodney Dial. I'm a lieutenant with the Department of Public Safety. Sir, I have addressed that question with our drug enforcement unit, and the consensus is that we've really not seen it because we've really not been looking for it, and our officers have no training on how to identify it or even to track it. We know that it's out there. We know that it can be purchased throughout the state, several different locations. It can also be purchased online. Generally, a gram goes for between about $7.45 to $23.45, depending upon the concentration. And it's also, a lot of internet sites are marketing what they call rookie packs. And they start off at a low concentration, working their way up to a higher concentration. Our real concern is with the YouTube videos as well, because when we see those, and if you watch those, you'll see the users laughing uncontrollably and apparently unable to perform even simple tasks or even communicate. So if we start experiencing traffic accidents and those type of things with this drug out there, we really don't know how we're going to address that or even test for that at this time. So the department definitely supports this bill, and we would like to work to try to address this problem before it really becomes critical in the state.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Other questions for Lieutenant Dial while we have him on the line? Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rodney, is there any way to test people for this if you pull them over to find out whether or not they're actually using?
Senator Wilikowski, through the chair, currently what we would do is perform some field sobriety tests. However, depending upon how this drug is ingested, the effects could be relatively short-lived. So if we suspected that somebody was under the influence, we would perform a series of field sobriety tests. And we also have some drug recognition tests that we can provide that may identify this or another substance. And then we'd have to address it from that standpoint. It'd be very hard, though, to be able to prove in court that they were actually under the influence of this drug with a blood test at this point.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And do you know if there have been any accidents or injuries that have been caused in Alaska by this drug?
Senator Wilikowski, through the chair, I am not aware of any.
Thank you.
We do have three people signed up to testify. I know who are interested in I got a letter from one of them today, unhappy with the way the public testimony went in the last committee. So let's go ahead and hear from those folks, give them time to make their cases. There's just three of you. Why don't we say that each of you gets 5 minutes to talk to the committee? And we'll begin with you, Jack, and I don't want to mispronounce your name, so why don't you go ahead and put yourself on the record, sir. Tell us who you're affiliated with, and the committee will listen to your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Jack Dagenstein. I'm a voter of District M in Anchorage. I'm representing a community of Salvia divinorum enthusiasts, and I've researched the plant for more than 6 years. I've grown it for more than 4 years, and entheogens, particularly this plant, Salvia divinorum, were inspiration for me to return to school. I'm going to school currently for chemistry. It has been 3 years now since the first incarnation of this bill. And in that time, there has been no reported incidents within our state or throughout the country. This proves that currently the legal status of the plant is not a health or social crisis. So then I ask, what is Senator Sotero's true purpose towards criminalizing this plant? On April 21st, 2006, in an email sent to us by Mr. Stancliffe speaking for Senator Sotero, he had this to say about enthusiasts of Salvia divinorum, and I quote, "I've heard from others using the substance that worry me. They're looking at Salvia as a god or high priestess, a plant to be worshipped and to try to attain oneness with. This is not rational or healthy mental behavior." Mr. Stancliffe later asked us not to speak about this email. I believe Senator Sotero's Catholic background is reflected in this statement. Is not religious freedom something that should be valued in our country? Unlike other sacramental plants, Salvia divinorum is not grown from seed. In its natural habitat, plant falls over and grows roots from the stem. If this bill were to pass, how would persons wishing to use Salvia divinorum as a religious sacrament, similar to the Mizadak Indians, be able to obtain the plant for such use? They would not be able to, and would be forced to leave the state to seek this liberty elsewhere. Criminalizing this plant would also affect its research in our state. The amount of regulation that must be followed in order to study a controlled substance would make the research costs unjustifiable when one can simply study the plant in a state where it's still legal. Not all states hold the opinion that a newly discovered drug should be criminalized. Several states have already adopted legislation that regulates Salvia divinorum in a way similar to alcohol or cigarettes. Senator French, or Mr. Chair, I'm a constituent of yours. I live on Collins Way. If this bill were to pass, I would have to destroy my garden. I would be required to kill rare living organisms in the name of law. Yet the neighborhood has been in no way affected by my involvement with this plant. This involvement now is right here in question as whether or not it is socially acceptable. please protect my liberty. And that is all I have to say. Thank you.
I have a couple quick questions. Thank you for being brief and succinct. You did a good job. My question is, as you mentioned research happening with Salvia, who is researching and where, if you know, are those, is that research being published?
I was mentioning research within our state, I believe, and I hope to do this in the future. It's one of my primary reasons for going to school, and I'd love to do it in Alaska, but if this is criminalized, I won't be able to do it here unless I follow extreme regulations, which would cost me a lot of money.
And just how far along are you in your studies, your chemistry studies?
I am a senior at UAA. I've got a couple more years to go. I hope to go to grad school for neurochemistry, which might not happen in Alaska, but I'm just going year by year.
And the last question for me, do you think that Salvia should be used by children, let's say under the age of 18? Would you vote to keep it out of the hands of children?
I would support legislation to regulate it. California and Maine have successfully implemented legislation to keep it out of the hands of anyone under 18. Selling to 18-year-olds would be a felony or, in California's case, I believe a misdemeanor. Other states, I think New York, has talked about making just the sale illegal, but the possession and use would still be legal. I don't think minors should have availability to the substance, but smoke shops, you've got to be 19 years old to buy anything out of a smoke shop, so they're not getting it from Alaska under 18.
Other questions for Mr. Degenstein? Thank you, sir. Next up is Brett Patterson. Mr. Patterson, are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and state your name for the record and your affiliation, if any, and then we'd be happy to hear your testimony.
My name is Brett Patterson. I'm a voter in District M. I'm here on behalf of myself and various Alaskan citizens. I have personally used Salvia for 6 years, so I think the claims made by Mr. Stancliffe last time for long-term psychological damage are unsubstantiated, and as Jack said here, most research seems to indicate it would be more therapeutic than anything else. I myself feel it's been very helpful to my own mental health, given that, you know, research shows that it's acted on receptors against heroin and cocaine addiction. I'd also like to know where Mr. Stancliffe got his figure of 4,000 results on YouTube, as I have my computer with me right now. I found less than 900 results. Also, about the message we're sending to our children by allowing this to be legal, what kind of message are we sending to our children by, you know, legalizing alcohol? I'd be in favor of regulating this for anyone over an 18 age limit. As he said, these shops do not sell to children under the age of 19 per Alaskan smoke laws. I believe passing this would be an infringement upon my rights, and I do not support it, and that's all I have to say at this point.
Mr. Patterson, thank you also for being succinct. Next up is Scott Kohlhaas. Mr. Kohlhaas, are you on the line?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Sir, if you'd put yourself on the record, we'd be happy to hear your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Scott Kohlhaas. I live here in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm currently serving as the state chairman of the Alaska Libertarian Party, and I'm here to oppose SB 52, the attempt to move Salvia divinorum onto the scheduled substance list. Currently, the Alaska Libertarian Party represents 6,692 registered voters here in Alaska. However, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I think our influence far outweighs our numbers. For instance, Dick Randolph received 14.9% of the vote for governor here in 1982. The Alaska Libertarian Party has long-standing positions supporting a strict respect for civil liberties and a free market economy. It's our opinion that when you send a message by criminalizing something, when you send a message by banning it, by telling us that we cannot have it, you do more damage to the fabric of our society, to our state and our nation, than any effect of this substance. What we have here is a self-fulfilling prophecy in some ways. 3 years they've been trying to ban it, and 3 years they've been raising awareness of it, and 3 years now the use is rising. I myself would have never heard of this until I saw the bill. The bottom line for us is we have a philosophy of live and let live. Our position is that we would be subtracting items from the from the controlled substance, the scheduled substance list, not adding items. So I'm here today asking you to let this bill die, SB 52. Thank you.
Mr. Cole Hess, I have one question. That is, with the general libertarian position with respect to regulating or criminalizing the usage of drugs, is that something that the libertarians support or oppose? What's your view of that?
Well, thank you for asking. We believe in self-ownership, that you own your body, you own your life, and you have the right to live any way you want as long as you don't infringe on someone else's right to do the same. So when it comes to a free society, I mean, we don't want to legalize drugs necessarily. We have to, because in a free society, you have to have the freedom of choice to do these things. It's not for the government to tell you that you can't. So, yes, we would legalize all drugs.
Thank you. Other questions for Mr. Cole Hess? I don't see any. Thanks so much for being here this afternoon, and I appreciate your testimony being succinct as well.
My pleasure. Thank you all.
We announced at the beginning of the meeting we would hold this bill over. It was not my intention to move the bill today. And so we will continue with that general philosophy. Are there any more questions for the bill sponsor or for Lieutenant Dial, or we have a representative here from the Department of Law to answer legal questions someone may have? Got a quiet group. I'm getting over a cold. Senator McGuire, I think, would probably just soon be lying down. And so hearing and seeing no other business to come before the committee. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. My helpful staffer has asked me to remember to ask whether there's anyone else online who'd like to testify about the bill. Don't hear any. Anybody else in the room? With that, I'll close public testimony, and we will adjourn.